With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Now, have you ever wondered what goes on behind the closed door of the therapist's office? Well, what's revealed there may surprise you. Psychotherapist Josh Fletcher takes us on a candid and human journey into the individual sessions of four patients. Welcome to the show, Josh.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. Now, these patients are Levi, Zara, Noah and Daphne. I'm assuming you've changed their names.
Yeah, I've definitely changed the names. I wanted to invite people behind the therapy room door to show you a bit more about what it's about. Daphne is a client case study who's a very famous actress. Levi is a doorman of a Manchester nightclub. Noah is a young lad who moves to town, who struggles a bit with depression and has got a dark secret to tell. And Zara's a GP who comes to see me for panic attacks. And, obviously it's, rigorous, heavily anonymized, rigorous ethical process, that's been on for a few years, but really happy to have the book out there and, see the lovely reaction to it.
And is it to let people know how you help them, or is it to let people know their stories because other people then might not feel so alone?
It's a bit of both. I mostly share how I work as an anxiety therapist. It's something I'm really passionate about. I used to struggle a lot with anxiety when I was younger due to various things. My passion was to show people how I work. The USP of the book is I actually share my inner thoughts. So I've got 13 different voices in my head as we're working through the sessions, and they're all arguing and squabbling and fighting and trying to shout up. And it helps inform my decision process, often with very humorous consequences, but also to show you actually this is the processes of someone who's well-trained, professional, and how I work with different anxiety presentations. Because a lot of people struggle with anxiety. I was one of them, and I want to show people how it works, because therapy can be quite a mysterious, strange, often scary place to go. And I like to think that I show people actually it's not as scary as you'd think.
Yeah, you've got to feel comfortable with your therapist, haven't you? It's no good if you don't just click, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think there's old archetypes of therapy, isn't there? Everyone thinks there's some dude with elbow patches telling you to lie down on a sofa, say, you know, he was, tell me about your mother and father. I don't do that in here. I come to my therapy room dressed as I usually dress, and I'm very much myself. And I believe in the connection that you have with your client is essential, because when you feel safe and feel like you can trust this person and trust their competence, things change. And I've someone who's been through therapy myself, and it really helped me. Not all therapy was great. I've had some bad therapy, and I've had some good therapy, and the good therapy was, you know, something that really helped me. Something I never thought I'd ever need. You know, as a 6'2" big lad from Lancashire, he played rugby league and boxing and stuff like that. I never knew how much it would help, and it did. And now I'm trying to drag all my loved ones and kick them through therapy because see how it would help them.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, the Americans had it right 20 or 30 years ago, because nearly every American, from what I understand, goes to therapy or counselling. It's like a usual thing. And I don't think it's a bad thing at all, because everyone needs to talk. Everyone's got problems that they don't want to talk to a loved one about. So there should be no stigma at all.
No, and go into a judgment-free zone is the where you what you say is protected by confidentiality and anonymity and the sanctity of the walls that you're in. And it's really powerful when you've, particularly when you've pushed stuff down for many years. I pushed stuff down for many years, didn't think it was a problem. I pushed grief down, ends of relationships, health issues, just loads of stuff down, and didn't think I had a problem, you know. But then, you know, it comes out in your behaviors, your moods. Yeah, mine came out as anxiety. I used to struggle with panic attacks, intrusive thoughts, agoraphobia. I used to worry about things that my rational brain was like, why are you worrying about this? But it used to keep me up at night. And when I learned about what anxiety was, and I had a lot of things that had accumulated in my stress jug, I was like, oh, yeah, things feel a bit lighter and nicer, and that can stay in that room with that therapist. And I try to replicate that for my clients and someone who's quite prominent on social media and in the media. I like to show a model to people actually what modern therapy is like and how helpful it can be.
And is it easy to switch off? Because like you say, you have suffered from anxiety yourself, and I would imagine it's quite draining listening to other people's problems all day. Can you go home and switch off?
Yeah, I've got that down to a T. Now, I actually like listening to people. Don't get me wrong, there's some subjects that come up, though, and because you care about your clients, that can have an emotional impact. But I don't find it difficult. I really don't, and most therapists don't. You know, and I think it's because that designated time is for that, and I'm prepared and trained for it. And I appreciate anyone who opens up and talks about their vulnerable selves. And it's proper conversation as well. Don't get me wrong, I like a bit of small talk or talk about the footy that's coming up, but also like you can talk about the deepest, darkest, most vulnerable things, and that's okay too. And it doesn't lumber me. Obviously, I've got to see a supervisor, and now and then if I need therapy again, I'll go for it. But we're trained for it. I think a lot of people don't go to therapy because they're like, oh, don't want to burden you with me problems, or stop being a downer. Nah, bring it in the therapy room. Well, I'll get the party poppers out.
Yeah, that's what you're there for, isn't it? So a couple of basic questions for you now. First of all, you mentioned the 13 different voices. Is that typical of a therapist, or is that just you, Josh?
I've since the book came out, I thought I was going to be banished as a heretic to my profession. And what was really nice is that a lot of therapists have emailed and stuff like that. And people have been to therapy, not just therapists, but they were like, wow, I feel really seen, because a lot of therapists have their own inner critics. And I show you some what I think is really good therapy and some not so great therapy, because we're always learning. We're always trying to better ourselves. The 13 different voices is something I came up with once when I overheard a couple of friends talking. One of them said, if you could, would you want to know what your therapist is thinking? And then the other person was like, yeah, actually, no, that's awful. And it gave me an idea. I was like, what if I wrote a wholesome, funny book about therapy where I literally share with you what I'm thinking to really give you an insight about what happens? And this includes all the different voices, like my own anxieties, analytical voice. The book opens up with me down in two coffees before a session. So I've got biology voice going, why did you do that? You need the toilet straight away. And then I've got the inner critic that's going, why did you do that? You need a toilet. You know, there's someone's listening. Detective voice, that's the nosy one. therapists can be nosy. Tell me more about that. It's juicy. You've got the irreverent voice where you just get random thoughts that pop into your head. I include those. I've got other therapists that were like, can't believe you included that. I was like, yeah, I'm going to show everyone, you know, it's okay. And obviously lots of empathy and professional voices as well, all striving and arguing and squabbling in my mind for what to say, what to do next. And, I think I pulled it off. Maybe not. Who knows? I won't read the reviews. I'm too scared.
I think it's a great idea. I think you're being open and honest, which is what people appreciate. So my second basic question is, have you ever bumped into a client or former client on a messy night out?
You prepared that question, didn't you, Celine?
You see what I did there?
Yeah, someone's done their homework. Yes, I have. So I live in Manchester, and in the book, I won't give away too many spoilers, but I'm going through a bit of a difficult time myself, and I was in between qualifying as a therapist. So I was a trainee therapist and then I became a therapist. So it was in between that time. And I was out on a night out. It was a heavy one as well. And I end up in a place where I don't even realize I'm talking to a previous client. And that's horrible. And really, for many years, shame ridden. And then things kind of happened where as towards the end of the night, I've just realized who this person is. And it was because I was going through a lot myself. In the book, I share why I became a therapist, what led me to that, a lot of life stuff that happened. I'm in a good place now, a very happy, content life, but we all have things that we go through. And I wanted to show other part of the process. I think a lot of people put off therapy because it's jarring, it's scary. There's a power dynamic in there, isn't there? No one wants to go into a therapy room and have someone psychoanalyze them and judge them. And no, that's not how I work as a therapist. I work in a way that's unconditional, and we're all humans. We all have vices, we all have flaws, and that's welcome in here. And over time, and having that space and talking to someone and going through your issues, you'll find that, you know, you'll naturally get to a more content place.
Yeah, I think it's a very refreshing look at it. And as you mentioned, you are very huge on social media. You've got a huge presence, including 236,000 followers on Instagram and 54,700 on TikTok. I shall have to look you up. The book is called And How Does That Make You Feel? Everything You Ever / Never Wanted to Know About Therapy by Joshua Fletcher, who we're chatting to now. It's available from Amazon and all good bookshops and our website. And do you want to give your social media handles and also your website address, Joshua?
Yeah, I'm called Anxiety Josh. I talk about things all anxiety. If you struggle with anxiety or know someone who struggles with it, come give it a follow. You can check in there. And if you want a nice holiday read to chill out and laugh and cry, then read And How Does That Make You Feel? And feel free to reach out and let me know what you think of it.
Great stuff. Well, I wish you lots of luck and thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks, Celine.
Take care. Bye-bye.